Buddha says to Ananda, Ananda, have you ever stood on the seashore and watched the waves rise and fall on the surface of the sea? Birthlessness and deathlessness are like the water. Birth and death are like waves. There are long waves and short waves, high waves and low waves. Waves rise and fall, but the water remains. Without water, there can be no waves. The waves return to the water. Waves are water. Water is waves. Though the waves may rise and pass away, if they understand that they themselves are water, they will transcend notions of birth, death. They will not worry, fear, or suffer because of birth, death. Bhikkhus, the contemplation of the empty nature of all dharmas is wondrous. It leads to liberation from fear, worry, and suffering. It helps you transcend the world of birth, death. Practice this. This is a restatement of a early Prajnaparamita Sutra by Thich Nhat Hanh into English. But the fundamental point is here in many sutras, and it's not so much something for us to believe, but something that helps us clarify what our ongoing practice is. What our ongoing practice is. So I raise it up here, and in the next few days I will reflect further on this text and then also bring up a text of Dogen Zenji's Bendoa, which further clarifies this matter. This matter of what we call birthless, deathless. Not birth and death, but birth is empty, death is empty. Empty of what? Empty of all that we attribute to it. Empty of all the emotional reactions that we have to the various aspects of it. See, this is our practice, to see, to use, if I say it that way, when we notice worry, fear, and suffering, to turn us, to return us to this experiencing that we are. Not something that we have to get rid of, but something for us to see for what it is. It's another wave upon a wave, so to speak. A wave of a particular type that we believe we do want or don't want, that we like or that we don't like, that we should react to or suffer because of. And fundamentally, we could say then that the practice is to not create a space where fear, worry, suffering is something we have to get away from, but to use those as opportunities for us to be exactly, to remind us to be exactly how and where this moment is, not something that we have to go looking for, but something that we are from the beginning, something that we are from the beginning always. And not that we are in terms of some mental construct or something else, but that in a sense is the ocean out of which our particular moment, if I say it that way, is the water out of this particular moment manifests. We don't have to go looking for the water. Water, if we use that kind of phrase, is not something else. Not just water, but as Dogen Zenji talks about it, Jiju Zanmai, self-fulfilling samadhi, or more accurately, the samadhi that is always this essential Buddha life that we are, the essential Buddha life of the universe. And this is why practice, in one sense, is so simple, because practice is always right here as we are. See, it's the water that we are. Now, we, of course, try to make sense of that. Of course, this is an analogy that by its very nature, if we try to figure out, is useless, because then we just get more ideas. See, zazening, whether in formal sitting or in throughout our life, is not to get to a particular state that we are away from. We are never away from, to use the analogy, the water that we are. We can't be away from it. We can't be away from it, and we can't help but encounter it in every moment. Can't help but encounter it in every moment of all the beings that we encounter, all the beings in all the various forms. This is why Dogen Zenji, when he talks about this, he uses the analogy of, he says, at that time, because earth, grass, trees, walls, tiles, and pebbles, all things in the ten direction, all perform Buddha activity. Those who receive the benefit of wind and water thus produced are subtly helped by the Buddha's profoundly subtle, incomprehensible guidance, and all manifest their inherent enlightenment. This is another way of stating what the sutra is stating. Always we are just in the midst of this enlightened life that we always are. Not something that's dependent upon us discovering something and having another kind of state, another kind of state of mind or realization or any such thing. That kind of talk or image, that kind of image that if I do zazen, then I will eventually have some sort of enlightenment, and then I'll know something. Then I'll sense something. Then I'll realize something that I now am lacking, that now is inadequate in the way I am. That's not what Buddha is talking about. That's not what Dogen Zenji, Dogen, Master Dogen, is talking about in Bendoa. He's talking about this fundamental, always nature of who we are. That's this birthless, deathless water. Birthless, deathless, meaning not dependent on any conditions, certainly not dependent on some big or little realization that we have. Our practice is being this that we are from the beginning. The empty of all conditions, Dharma that we are. Empty of all conditions, Dharma that we are. So it's not something that we gain, or something that we lack, or something that is going to take care of. So when we're doing Zazen, when we say in the four practice principles, being just this moment, we are from the beginning being just this moment. It's even with caught, even with holding to self-centeredness, those are what we might call epiphenomena. Epiphenomena. So last week I used the example of talking about this in ways having to do with thoughts, but in another way, and judgments. Another way we could think of it as if I start talking about this wonderful chocolate cake with great fruit topping, fresh fruit topping, all of a sudden my mouth begins to salivate. If I start reflecting on it, saliva forms, not because I am making the saliva, but because it forms. Now, if I pay attention to trying to get more saliva or less saliva or certain kinds of saliva, that's no different from attempting to have certain kinds of thoughts and feelings and states of beings, even states of being called so-called awakened, so-called realizations of different sorts. Those are all epiphenomena, in the sense that those are just secretions that being human come along with being human. Being human has those. You hear words of certain sorts, thoughts of certain sorts, reactions, emotional reactions. Those are just other kinds of secretions, which is why the Buddha talks about the poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance or delusions, which are secretions of body, mind, of thoughts, of the tendencies that we humans have of greed when we want something, of anger when certain things don't go our way. The poisons that result from the belief, the uncertainty of self, the certainty of things shouldn't change in a certain way, or they're changing too fast, or they're changing in the wrong direction. Imagine if different waves said that to the ocean. different waves said that to different waves. I'm a better wave than you. I've got more texture, more color. I'm higher. I'm lower. I'm smoother. I'm rougher. I'm stronger. I'm weaker. That's what, now remember, these are all just images. Images aren't going to make it, and yet they're useful. They're useful because we all have the ability of Zazen. We all have the ability of Zazen, both in terms of sitting upright and in terms of our ongoing life practice of being just this moment. Or, let me say it a different way, of not getting caught up in the thoughts that cover up our vision, not holding on to the reactions that seem to come up as natural part of cause and effect. Reactions, beliefs, even our very being of seeing and perceiving in certain ways are just cause and effect on this ocean, if I use that image, of birthless, deathless. They're cause and effect that give rise to a certain kind of wave that result in the wave manifesting in different ways at different times, result in the waves changing in different ways. It's just cause and effect. If you want to try to explain the cause and effect, you're in an endless tangle. You can do things like that. In fact, we humans do that in a lot of ways, and that's fine where it's skillful and useful. But in Zazen, we begin to discover the process in sitting upright, being this moment. We begin to discover how this process of thoughts, feelings, and all the variations of those that which arise and pass do that of themselves, and also do that when we, what should I say, direct our attention and energy in that direction, and also have consequences in our life. So our practice in Sesshin, our practice in our life, is to see how and where we can nurture this, I use the word zazening, this self-fulfilling samadhi that we are, through the simple form of experience, through the simple form of sitting upright, being present. So this is what Dogen emphasizes in his text on Bendoa. He says, the person of Zazen without fail casts off body mind is, you think, is something magical, but rather it's the simple of not holding on to the caught in self-centered dream. Not holding on to is not something we have to try to do, but in our noticing when we are holding on to, in that noticing and in being experiencing, allows us to, and I'll use Dogen's words, sever the previously defiled understanding thoughts about it, and in place conform to our essential Buddha Dharma, Buddha nature, which assists all in manifesting this Buddha functioning, this ongoing Buddha Dharma, to quote Dogen Zenji. So how does this work? So Dogen says, at that time, because earth, grass, trees, walls, tiles, and pebbles, all things in 10 directions, all perform Buddha activity. This means the whole universe is a manifestation of this ocean, if I mix images, of this Buddha activity that we are. This Buddha functioning that we are, that is experiencing. Of course, spelling it out this way gives you more ideas if you try to hold on to them or try to think about them. They're simply brought up here to encourage you, because I'm encouraging us, you, me, all of us, in this GGU Zammai, this self-fulfilling samadhi, self-fulfillingness, in which we are, quote, subtly helped by Buddha's profoundly subtle and incomprehensible guidance and all manifesting, all of us manifesting this inherent enlightenment, awakening. This enables us, all of us, who benefit from water and fire, which is essentially a way of saying benefit from all aspects of nature and the universe, and we allows us to function as the original enlightenment, original self-fulfilling samadhi that we are. So we could do this because, for instance, those of you sitting in the Zendo are all being subtly served and supported by the floor, the light, the air, the sound or silence, by the functioning of the blood, all the various aspects of being human that enable you to perceive and to be upright and to be aware and to be experiencing. If we pay attention, this is always available to us. Inside, outside, that's just different aspects of the waves, if I say it in that way. You can pay attention to those. You could become an expert on wavology. An expert on wavology and start differentiating and picking and choosing the waves that the universe should manifest as. But then we miss the ocean that the waves are all just aspects of. We miss the very ocean that we, our life is, our breathing is, our hearing is, our seeing is, our tasting with our mouth is, our bodily awareness, our, what's the word, proprioceptive, our sense of existence in a room and space. All of this is the very functioning that the sutra is pointing to, that Dogen Zenji is pointing to. I can say just Dogen. Zenji simply means Zen master. It's an honorific way of referring to Dogen, and I say it once or twice, but there's no need to say it more. Just consider as if I do say it. Dogen is pointing to this. He's pointing to this to enable us to appreciate and see what our life is. Not our life in a sense inside this bag of skin and bones, but our life in the myriad directions. That's why he can say, all who dwell and speak together also mutually hold, discover, reveal the endless Buddha virtue unrolling over and over, spreading it over and over, the inexhaustible, unceasing, incomprehensible, unmeasurable Buddha Dharma inside, outside, throughout the Dharma worlds. Now, of course, Dogen's language is a particular style. And I bring it up, not that you have to remember any of what Dogen says. I will talk a little further about more aspects of this as Sesshin goes on, talk more aspects of Bendoa. But none of this is anything you need to remember except to know what your practice is. And your practice from the beginning is the practice of self-fulfilling samadhi. It's not a practice of seeing, I missed it, I got it, merits, demerits, I did better, I did worse, I'm going to get some better state. From the beginning, we are this subtle and incomprehensible inherent in awakened life, enlightenment, if you want to use that word. Therefore, if you are that, be that. And being that is always accessible to you, except when we become caught up. Even then, it's not except, but for us, it's except because we're caught up in holding to the self-centered thoughts, feelings, beliefs, habits, reactions, many ways to talk about those which blind us to what we always are. It's not something you're going to get. A wave doesn't have to know something extra in order to be this ocean that the Buddha talks about. This birthless deathlessness. Without this, without the water, ocean, waves don't exist. Without this incomprehensible Buddha awakening, we don't exist. It's because of, as he says, the earth, grass, trees, walls, tiles, and pebbles, which all perform Buddha activity. Don't think that Buddha activity has something to do with being human. Buddha activity is manifesting this cause and effect non-self right this moment. This ongoing cause-effect changing, if you want to say, non-self this moment that we are, that the whole universe is, and only because we attach, cling, blind ourselves, give in to certain body, mind, secretions, thoughts, feelings, reactions that we create trouble. So, because we have this time to sit together, so we have this time to share this immeasurable life that we are, this incomprehensible life that we are, not in order to comprehend it, but so that we can be manifest, and in manifesting it, taste and sense it to whatever extent we can as we do so. So please do your part of practice. Do your upright sitting. Do your zazening in standing and walking and in all the other activities. But most of all, make sure you do what's called for when holding to, believing, do what's skillful in noticing, in releasing, in letting go of entanglements when they arise. You're not the boss of the waves that arise, whether it's waves that are pleasant or waves that are anger, greed, confusion. Those waves just are more waves on the ocean. But if we see them for what they are, then so what? They come. When we see them, we can do what's called for. That's why it's simply being this moment, experiencing. Nothing more is needed, certainly not when you're sitting upright in zazen or walking or throughout sesshin. So, in the next days, I will also read and we can reflect together on what Dogen says further. But I just want to read one next sentence where Dogen says, these things are not mingled in one's perception. It's not dependent on us perceiving this. We all who dwell, speak, practice together, mutually hold, discover, reveal, manifest the endless Buddha virtue, unrolling it over and over. So, okay, I started speaking here. I will leave these texts. I know sometimes these texts are a little bit lead you to try to figure them out. No need to figure it out. In fact, every time I speak, when it's done, throw it away. No need to hold on to anything. If it's not useful, let it go. If it's confusing and you want to, bring it up with me in times when we speak individually. The only point of speaking is to encourage and support you in your zazening, in your manifesting this self-fulfilling samadhi that is your life of the universe, appreciating this life. We all can serve all the wood, pebbles, walls, beings that we encounter. Thank you.